accidental life, and just be wrecked, just totally wrecked, and come to Him. He can fix the wreck. Praise the Lord. Just as I am. I didn't have to fix the wreck before I brought it to Him. I brought the wreck to Him. Amen. He accepted the challenge. Like some car is wrecked and they take it to a body shop. Do you think you can fix this? Do you think you can do anything with this car? Well, today they total them out. I realize that. But what if it was the only one you had? And you could never get another one. That's the only car you've had and ever could have the rest of your life. You'd want it fixed. If you wanted transportation, you'd want that car fixed. And so you had this wreck, this terrible wreck. The car was wrecked beyond recognition. And so you took it to the body shop. And by the way, I heard about a body man that can take a car that's so wrecked beyond recognition, torn in two, he can put it back together and you would never know that it was ever in a wreck. I want to shout hallelujah. Because Adam and Eve had a wreck in the Garden of Eden. They fell and they wrecked their brains and they wrecked their feet and they wrecked everything in between. They fell and they crashed hard. But Jesus accepted the challenge and said, I can fix it. Hallelujah. I can fix it.
Hallelujah.
I can fix it.
Hallelujah.
Called an animal over to him and shed its blood, stripped it of its skin, and the plan of redemption began to be revealed. And then you and I fell. You and I were wrecks. And we came to church. We sat and we felt the warm presence of God in this place.
Amen.
And we thought in our minds, can God fix this wreck? Can God fix me? Some have left disbelieving. Some have said, I'm going to that altar. I'm going to offer this wreck. I'm going to offer this wreck to the Lord and see if He can fix this. They come to the altar and the Lord says, I take the challenge. I can put you back together. I can fix you. Hallelujah. And we come just as we are. We come just as we are. We don't straighten the fenders and balance the tires and fill her with gas and bring it in. Sometimes vehicles are wrecked so bad you can't even drag them to the body shop. You have to put them on a flatbed and haul them in. And then the body man goes to work on it. And he pounds and pounds and pounds on that car. Uses all kinds of equipment and torches and fire and heat and paint and puts that thing back together. Hallelujah. Too many people don't understand this psalm, just as I am. They want to clean up their lives. They want to fix the wreck before they present it to Jesus. Now that's His job. He's going to fix it. He'll fix it so you'll never know it was in a wreck by the time He's done. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Had a lady come to this church. She wanted to come so badly for so many years, but she never could make up her mind to come because she always wanted to quit doing some of the things that she was doing. That is, namely, drinking and smoking. She didn't. She wanted to give it up, but she didn't have the power to give it up. And she says, I got to overcome this. I got to give it up before I come to church. And once I lick these habits, I'll come to church and I'll be a Christian. She loved us, my wife and I. And she had to clean up her life first. One day she made a decision. I am going to that church. She lit a cigarette, smoked all the way to church, threw it out the window right out here on Menominee Street, came to church and gave her heart to the Lord. You know what she found? She found that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You receive Him first, and then He gives you the power to become the son of God. Praise the Lord. Another verse says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. See, we come as we are, just as I am. That's the way we come to the Lord. And you know when you come, what happens? You know, this is a deal. What a deal. Maybe some of you have gotten a good deal in your lives. You bought a house for half of what it was worth. You bought a car for a quarter of what it was worth. Some people just know how everything they do turns into money. They've made a lot of good deals. I want to tell you about the best deal in the universe. And that's when I came to Jesus, when you came to Jesus, He imputed our sins to Himself. He imputed our sins to Himself. That means He took the blame for our sins. He said, that's okay. But Lord, I've committed adultery. That's okay. I'll take the blame for it. But Lord, I killed a man. That's okay. I'll take the blame for it. But Lord, I got drunk the other night and I did this and that. That's okay. I'll take the blame for it. Believe me, I'll take the blame for it. I'll impute your sins to myself. What a deal. Hallelujah. He got the blame for everything you and I have ever done wrong since day one of our lives. He got the blame for it. He took the blame for it. But Lord, you don't know what I've done. That's okay. I take the blame for it. That's what that means. And then, you know, if He took all your sin away, that would only make you innocent. We need more than innocence. We need righteousness. So, not only did He impute our sins to Himself, He imputed His righteousness to us. He gave us credit for every holy day He lived from day one to age 33 and a half, and He never had one impure day. You know what that means? I can't tell you what it means and make you believe it. It means that in the sight of God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, you are perfect. You have never sinned.
Jesus.
I don't believe it. Jesus says, I'm sorry you don't believe it, because that's the best news I can give you. I'm sorry if you can't believe it. That's the best news I can give you. I'm talking about people who put their trust in Christ and not in themselves. I'm talking about people who put their trust in Him and in His holy life and not in theirs. I'm talking about people who respond to that kind of love with a return love. You know something? You cannot love Jesus until you know that He loves you. You cannot love Him until you know that He loves you. How many knew that? See, the Bible says we love Him because He first loved us. The love was not initiated on our end. He initiated the love. God so loved the world. Every harlot, every drunkard, every fornicator. God so loved the world that in the midst of all that sin and darkness, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. No sin's going to get into heaven. If you have one sin in your life, you'll never make it. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Please don't misunderstand me. By the time I'm finished, I hope nobody does. Ephesians 1:6 says that we have been accepted in the Beloved. I have not been accepted in myself. I have been accepted in Him. I have not been accepted because He looked down and said, boy, there's a good looking Norwegian. Well, there's a beautiful German. Or so on. Isn't he handsome? Isn't she beautiful? Well, he's doing all right in life. I accept him. No. We're not accepted in ourselves, we're accepted in the Beloved. Who is the Beloved? The voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Let me repeat something that I have said frequently over the years. I have baptized a lot of people. I've never heard a voice from heaven come down or speak from heaven and say, "This is my Beloved Daughter, this is my Beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Never, never, never have I heard that. It's only been said of one man, because there's only one man that ever pleased God. And that's Jesus. He is the Beloved Son of God. The only way we can please Him is have faith in the Son of God. Enoch had this testimony before his translation that he pleased God. By faith, it says, Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Jesus is the only person that ever lived that was pleasing to God. The rest of us are pleasing to God through faith. Without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. How many have faith tonight? If you don't, how many want faith? Praise the Lord. God looks down and loves your faith. That's my child. Believes in me. That's my child. Trusts in me. I think I'll give him some more power to live right. Boy, that child there, I don't know. Boy, is he struggling. He's just, it's in his heart to do it, but he's not doing it because he's going to keep the rules. I guess I better leave him alone a while and let him struggle until he gets good and tired. He gets tired enough, he might come to me and say, "Jesus, I love you. Because I love you, I'm going to serve you and live right." How else can you serve him without serving him in love? Hallelujah. So Ephesians 1:6 says we're accepted in the Beloved, and then Philippians 1:6 says, "He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He saved you, He took the wreck, He's working on it now. We're not out of the body shop yet. Hello? Amen. We're not out of the body shop yet. He's still pounding away on me. Whoop! There's a little bump there. He's pounding away. Do you feel the pounding once in a while? That's not a sledgehammer. That's a craftsman's tool. And he's going to perfect his job on us. Ouch. Yeah, ouch. Man. But he accepted me just as I am. Now here's the big point. God does not want me to remain just as I am. There's where a lot of people go wrong. And there's where the doctrine of eternal security gets a wrong foothold, I think. Standing on a banana peel, slippery. A lot of people go wrong there. They think He accepts me just like I am, and I can live my whole Christian life just like I want to, and He still accepts me that way. No, brother, He's going to get that tool out and pound on your brain. He's going to pound and pound and pound. You'll give in or die. Oh, my, my. He does not want me to remain just as I am. Can we prove that tonight? I've had people say to me, "What are you looking at me like that for? You need to accept me just as I am." I said, "God doesn't." He says, "Oh yeah, we sing that song, Just As I Am. Well, I believe that that blood was shed for me." I said, "Right, I believe that song and I love that song and I preach that song." "Well, how come you don't accept me just like I am?" I said, "Well, you can't live in sin and be accepted by God." "Well, yeah, but it's just as I am." I said, "You don't understand, sir. You don't understand. Let me explain it to you." And so that's where this message came from, after encounters like that. Okay, I said, "Yeah, you came just as you are, but God does not want you to remain just as you are, because some come as liars." God doesn't want liars in His family. He said, "Speak the truth one to another. You're members one of another." God doesn't want you to remain just as you are. Some people come as thieves. God doesn't want any stealing going on in His family. Right? Some come as drunkards. He doesn't want you to stay just like you are. Come just like you are. Come a drunkard. Come a thief. Come a liar. But present yourself to the man, Jesus. And then he's going to work on you. He's going to drive the lying, the stealing, and the drunkenness out of us. He gives us power to overcome them. Oh, he has a wonderful way of working with us. I knew a man one time. He said, my marriage is in trouble. He said, would you pray for God's blessings on my marriage? Pray that God will put my marriage back together again. But don't pray that I'll stop drinking. He said, my wife says that's why she's leaving me. That's the problem. Because I drink and I get drunk and I beat her up and I do all these things. And just pray God's blessing on my marriage. But don't mention my drinking. That's my business. Don't tell me I'm wrong. Just love me. And he said, just as I am. Love me like God loves me. Just as I am. I have a little trouble with people like that. This guy went on and said, I'll date her, but I won't live with her because she always nags me about my problem. How can you pray God's blessing on a marriage when a man refuses to obey God's word regarding marriage? Huh? Another man came to me and said, pray for God's blessing on my finances. I said, sure, brother, let me ask you a few questions. Do you tithe? No, I don't tithe, and I don't intend to. I said, well, I'm not sure that prayer will change things, but tithing might. Huh? Some people, you know, God says, look, I want to bless that guy. I want to bless him so bad, but he won't give. He's not generous. He won't tithe. I guess I'll just let him struggle a while. A few more houses burn down, a few more trucks break down, a few more cattle die or whatever. I guess he just, maybe he'll take another look at the book and, you know, pray God's blessings on my marriage. Pray God's blessings on my finances. Pray God's blessings on my spiritual life. A man said that to me. These are all true stories, requests, people have come to me through the years. I want to be a better Christian, but I don't want to change. I said, nothing can get better unless it changes. How can anything improve without changing? You know where I learned that? Bible. God says, I'm the Lord, I change not. He can't improve. You can't improve upon perfection. We can be improved upon, but not God. So, he says, I want to be a better Christian, but I don't want to change. Well, people don't like my answers all the time. Nothing can improve without changing. How many are ready to change tonight? Praise the Lord. God bless your heart. Amen. He says, I don't want to live a separated life. I want to be accepted by the world. I said, well, I want to be accepted by Christ. You know. And, I don't want to be an oddball. People call me strange and all that. I said, well, the Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate from the world, saith the Lord. Come out from among them that ye receive not of their plagues. Right? Okay. So, he says, I don't know. Pray for God's blessings on my spiritual life. Well, how in the world can you pray for God's blessings on a spiritual life when a man refuses to become more spiritual because he won't change? Oh, my. Tough. I pray for them anyway. I pray that God will open their minds to understand. Amen. And then they say, now you're judging me, but Jesus loves me just as I am. I said to one man, I said, Jesus can't stand you just like you are. Well, you talk about shock. Shocking. I don't say these things to be smart. I say them because they're true. Jesus can't stand us the way we are. Huh? I thought you were telling us how wonderful we are. I didn't mean to say that. You know how bad we are? Here's how bad it is. He shed his precious blood to change us from what we are. Now how can we say he loves me just like I am when he shed his blood to change me from what I am to what he wants me to be? Anybody with me yet?
Yeah.
Okay. I like that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And then he goes on and says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. He describes our old life, and he says, you've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified. I couldn't stand you the way you were, so I shed my precious blood to wash you from what you were. How many got that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Such were some of you. Past tense. Amen. So the truth is, he can't stand me just like I am. Maybe I'm a little crude the way I say that. But if he could stand us, wouldn't he stop working on us? Wouldn't he say, completed. Job finished. I'm satisfied with you. Step aside, I'll work on the next one. Perfect that one. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I know what I am. Maybe you all are better than that. I don't know. I know I'm a sinner. And I know I've got struggles. And don't get me wrong. I don't go around saying, I'm going to peek at that TV. Nobody's looking. I'm going to peek at that TV. No, I'm not struggling with that. You know, not at all. Not at all. That's not it. I'm just saying that I don't pray as much as I want to pray. And I pray. I don't read the Bible as much as I want to read the Bible. And I read the Bible. And I don't witness as much as I want to witness. And I witness. And I'm not as holy as I want to be. And I want to be. Don't you feel the way I do tonight? Then you have to change to read the Bible more, to pray more, to witness more, to love God more. It takes a change. Did we come here tonight to change, or did we come here tonight to leave the same as we came? We came to change. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Let every song service, every beautiful testimony that's given, every sermon that's preached, every Bible study that's given, let it be to change us from what we are to what God wants us to be. Woo! Hallelujah. He's only got one. That's Jesus. And we sing, to be like Jesus. Oh, how we need to mean that and sing it from the depths of our hearts. I want to be like you, Jesus. And then picture him in his 33 and a half years on this earth and how he acted and reacted and what he did and didn't do. And then say, oh, Jesus, I'm not like you yet. Change me, change me, change me. Get out those special tools and work on me until I become what you want me to be. Now, isn't it interesting that Ephesians 1:6 says we're accepted in the beloved, and Philippians 1:6 says he started to work on us and he's going to work on it until Jesus comes. In other words, he's working on us today.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And he'll be working on us tomorrow. He'll be working on us until the rapture. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are accepted just as we are, but he doesn't want us to stay just as we were when we came to him. He wants to change us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, if we're acceptable just as we are when we come to him, why did he give us the Holy Ghost? I thought he gave us the Holy Ghost to quicken this mortal flesh so it would rise from being dead in trespasses and sins and serve him. If we're okay the way we were when we came to him, then why did he give us the Holy Ghost? And if we're okay because we came just as I am, quote unquote, why does he chasten us? The Bible says he chastens every son whom he receives. How many have ever been chastened by the Lord? Oh man. I can't show you any black and blue marks because he's more tender than that. But I have felt the chastening rod. And my attitude after the tears have dried away and after the pain has subsided somewhat is, thank you, Lord. Because afterward it bringeth forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness in them that are exercised thereby, in them that receive it. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So if we're acceptable, just as we were when we came, why does he give us the Holy Ghost to empower us to live right? Why does he chasten us, to correct us? What is his goal for each of us? Is not his goal for each one of us that we be conformed to the image of his Son? That's what Romans 8:29 says. That's what he wants. That's his goal for every one of us, to be like Jesus. Praise the Lord. Isn't it exciting being a Christian? You never know when you're going to get spanked next. But you can sometimes anticipate it's coming. Ooh, I shouldn't have done that. You anticipate a good one, and then the Lord starts talking to you and says, I love you, and you say, well, when are you going to spank me? He says, you've already repented. I don't need to spank you. Well, how we need to live repentant lives, amen. So if we're acceptable, quote unquote again, just as I am, why does he, in the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, speaking to seven churches, say, except ye repent. Except ye repent. Or repent or else. Oh, my. He wants a perfect bride. Do you know that? It sounds so incredibly impossible, but he wants you to be perfect. What did he write that in the Bible for if he doesn't want it? What did he say that I want you to be conformed to the image of my Son if that's not his goal for us? That is his goal for us. But I'm not perfect and it's hopeless. Does that mean we should throw in the towel? Does that mean we should quit? Does that mean we should give up? Does that mean we should say, God's not pleased with me? No, he's pleased with our faith. If you believe just what I'm preaching tonight because it's scripture, God's going to be pleased with that because he knows you're going to take action on it. Oh, hallelujah. So let's not cheapen the gospel by justifying what we do wrong. And that's what too many people do. Well, I'm saved. Everything I do must be right. No, they don't understand. They don't understand. Let's not cheapen the gospel by justifying what we are. Rather, let's exalt the gospel by submitting to the Lord's chastening rod. How many are willing to submit to the Lord's chastening rod? Hallelujah. I can put up everything I have. Hallelujah. Submit to his chastening rod. You're illegitimate if you don't. That's what the Bible says. Illegitimate. The Bible has an old-fashioned hard word for that. It's so easy for us to deceive ourselves into believing that when we were born, we were the finished product. Because, boy, if somebody brings up a mistake that we've made since we got the Holy Ghost, we don't like that. It's the best thing in the world for us to hear. You know why? Because when you got the Holy Ghost, you weren't mature. Or when you got saved, you weren't born mature. You were born an infant, and you messed your diapers, and you burped your milk all over, and you spit up on your dad's sport coat. When you were born an infant. You were not born mature. And sometimes we Christians forget that when we were born Christian infants, and we made some terrible mistakes and did some awful blunders. And then we get a little older and a little more mature, and we look at another new Christian, a whole lot younger than us, and point the finger at them and look down on them and criticize and judge and condemn them when we did the same thing when we were their age in the Lord. You weren't born mature, and I wasn't born mature. People say, Brother Tammy, you're so patient. No, I just have such a good memory. That's all. I don't know if I'm any more patient than anybody else with people who sin after they've been saved, with people who make a mistake after they've been saved, with people who happen to get hooked on smoking for a season after they've been saved. Well, man, aren't you, what are you saying? I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you and I got saved, we made some mistakes too. Instead of criticizing people, you know what we need to do is pick them up. Love them. Bring them back into the fold. Bring them back to the altar. Bring them back into the graces of God. How many think they understand what I'm saying tonight? Thank you. If we would have been born perfect, God would have had no work to do on us. If we would have been born perfect, God would have had no work to perform on us. I like that song, that old Spanish boy you sang over in the other building many, many years ago, way back in the early 70s when I was here. I forgot his name. Some of you might remember. He used to sing a song. I could listen to him sing that every service. He had a guitar and he sang, "If you don't think I'm going somewhere, look back where I've been." Oh, I wish I would have had that on tape, on record, something. If you don't think I'm going somewhere, look back where I've been. Praise the Lord. I remember when Don Grant came back, I believe it was from Havre, Montana, and he came into the church and looked around and he asked somebody, "Who's that? Who's that?" You know who it was? They said, "Well, that's Michael Steinar." Michael Steinar? He was that tall when I left here. And now he's, I can't believe it. Well, you know what happened to Michael Steinar? He grew. That's all that happened. He grew. And some of us have grown until... If you went back to the beginning, if you went back home, people wouldn't recognize you. How many of you can picture Kathy Clickman, chain smoking? She tells me she used to be a chain smoker. Her husband confirms the story. I can't even picture her. And you came up here tonight and said you used to smoke. I'm trying my best to picture you with a camel between your lips. I can't even picture it. She came. The wreck that she was, gave it to Jesus. He went to work on it. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's clap our hands under the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That clap is unto our God who has changed us and is working on us and making us what we ought to be. Praise the Lord. Remember the story Judy Nichols told? She went home and she had gotten saved in between the time that she left her family and got her raised family and got back there. And they said to Ray Nichols, they said to Judy standing right next to him. He said, "Where's Judy?" "Judy was standing right there." "Where's Judy?" "Well, this is Judy." "Huh?" God changed her so much they didn't even recognize her. And they knew her well. That's what God's doing in our lives. Hey, don't let anybody scare you. Don't let anybody terrorize you. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody lie to you. "Well, I'm a Christian. I got saved 10 years ago, and man, I've done some things. The people I work with know what I've done. Man, I've lost my testimony." You have not lost your testimony. All you need to do is stop doing what you've done, what you were doing. Stop doing what you were doing. And come back and repent and get right with God and go back to work and start whistling. And start bouncing. And start smiling. And start being happy. And start witnessing to them. You know what? I've said this before, but let me say it. If you present yourself as perfect, if you present yourself as one who got saved and was put in a little, what, cage or house, or glass house or something somewhere, and never made another mistake since you were saved, and they all know you never made a mistake, and so they all say, "Man, I'll never make it. No use me being a Christian." I'm not saying you should backslide so you make them believe they can make it, be a Christian, but hey, listen, let me can I tell them myself a minute? This is not in my notes. I have a long fuse. Really, I do. I have a long, long fuse. But a guy just burned it to the end one day. And I lit into him. I was a Christian. I was a Christian. A spirit-filled, Jesus' name, baptized Christian. Probably pushing 30 years old. And I let go on this guy, and I told him off good. I was really right. To this day, I was right. He was wrong in the argument. I was wrong in losing my cool, in letting the fire from the fuse reach the bomb, the powder, you know. And I told that guy off. And boy, I'll tell you, we didn't talk to each other all day. Next day he came in. I mean, I was in the woodshed all night. I was under the chastening rod all night. I went back to work the next day, and I called this man by his first name, and I said, we had quite an argument yesterday. I said, and I lost my cool. I said, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? He couldn't hardly handle that. Well, I didn't think it was that bad. Well, you know, but you know what he thought of me after that? More than he did before. So go out and lose your temper, folks. No, that's not my message. That's not my message. My message is that you will do something wrong. Why not just make it right with God and then go back and apologize, ask somebody to forgive you, and go on. Failing to ask forgiveness makes it harder to ask forgiveness. Asking forgiveness makes it easier to do it the next time, because God's already crushed your heart, the hardness of your heart. Amen. Could we stand? I'd like to sing. If we still have that old chorus, Sister Linda Budzinski, Little by Little, He's Changing Me. We used to sing it first, and then we'd sing it again as a prayer. Praise the Lord. So, let me just say something else. Don't stagnate. Don't stagnate in your walk with God. Don't just come to church not expecting to be changed in every service. Don't get up in the morning not expecting to be different than you were yesterday. Don't stagnate. When we were boys, we used to go down the Rod and Gun right across Half Moon Lake here. There are bicycles, park. They had these water wheels there, and trout ponds, and so on. So much vandalism now, they don't have them anymore. But we'd go down there, and the water was coming down from the springs and turning those water wheels. You know how they had these little compartments in there, and they'd fill up with water, and the weight would make it go. And it was just a real sight for us young fellas to see. So we'd look at that, and we got big enough, brave enough to put our feet on there, our hands on there. In the summer, we'd always go barefoot, you know, so it didn't make a difference, hands or feet. We'd stop the wheel. We stagnated the wheel, and it would stop dead. And we look at that, and that was a great victory for us little warriors. We stopped the water wheel. We stagnated the water wheel. And we'd sit and look at that thing, but all the time that we were watching that thing stand still, daring to move on us, it was filling up with water. It would start going the other way. Clayton Steinhauer said it one time. Something about this Christian walk is like going up a down escalator. You got to keep moving or you're going backwards. Keep moving or you're going backwards. Don't stagnate on an up, on a down escalator. Keep moving on. Keep changing. Praise the Lord. I would like to be a blessing to you tonight. I would like to comfort your hearts. I would like to tell you that you're probably right on schedule in God's plan. Quit condemning yourself. Live in joy and liberty in the Lord. Because He's going to get a whole lot more work done on us when we are pliable and when we are submissive to Him. He's going to get this job underway a whole lot faster when we quit resisting. But Lord, I'm no good. I can't do it. We jerk away from the bench. He's working. Amen. Don't live in condemnation. Live in freedom of the Spirit. Live in victory. That's where you grow. That's where you flourish. Those that be planted, somebody read tonight. Who read that? In the house of the Lord. Good. You did, okay. Can you quote that? Shall flourish in the courts of our God, something like that? Yeah, okay. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. So get yourself planted. Get yourself planted. Like, hey, I'm God's, and I know that my vicissitudes are being worked on. They're being taken care of. I know that I am in His workshop, and He's working on me. And then we can make a prayer out of this, little by little, after we sing it a few times. Keep changing me. Don't give up on me, God. Philippians 1:6 says He won't. Praise the Lord. Little by little, He's changed.